But this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're asking the question this morning, when will Jesus come again? And under my title, I've got the assurance of God's word. We began this series by talking to you up front, first of all, about the authenticity and the accuracy of the Bible. I'm pretty excited. I got on the internet yesterday morning, came into the office, and from Kibbutz Genozar, Israel, from Reuters News Service, they have found a boat that dates back to the exact time of Jesus Christ, and it was well-preserved and well-kept, and it's interesting. It's in the museum there in Israel, and they have dated it to 50 AD or even earlier, but certainly at the times of Christ. And you might want to take a look at that in the online. America Online is having that information. But again and again, science is being confirmed by the Bible. The Bible speaks of this. And so it's interesting, just one more shred of evidence showing you the authenticity and the accuracy of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or have died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. But notice verse 18. Comfort one another with these words. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. And we're asking the question, when will Jesus come again? If in your heart and your mind this morning that is nerve-wracking to you, that's scary, that Jesus could come back at any moment, then something's wrong, because the scripture is telling you in verse 18 that it is to be a comfort to you concerning the return of Christ. You ought to be excited that Jesus is coming back. As Danny Cruz was singing this morning, I kept wanting to get up and unplug everything and start getting into this message because I'm so excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back. If you've had a week like I've had, I wish Jesus would have came back on Monday. But Jesus is coming back. When will this happen? I want you to jot down in your notes, and please, everybody, I want to encourage you like never before, take notes this morning, because I'm going to say some things that might kind of drive you up the wall or might interest you or whatever, but I want you to search and see if what I'm telling you is true from the Bible. First thing we want to recognize is that there are two revelations of Jesus Christ that are in the future. Two of them. And I am absolutely amazed with the confusion that there is in prophecy among Christians. Listen carefully. Have you heard this before? Have you heard people say, oh, I can't wait for the second coming of Christ? Well, listen, I can wait. I'm not too excited about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ is judgment to the earth. It's when he comes back out of heaven and sets up his kingdom upon earth. But his second coming is a time of great judgment. It's a time when he comes and puts an end to the battle of Armageddon and to the reign of the Antichrist. That is the second coming. It is specifically in regards to Israel, the second coming is. It happens at the close of Daniel's 70th week that Daniel speaks about in Daniel 9. That is the second coming. Of course, the first coming is when Jesus came to Jerusalem, born in Bethlehem, coming to the temple during his earthly life. That's his first coming. It too was to Israel. His second coming will also be to Israel. But in between the first and second coming is what so many people get confused and often call itself the second coming, and that is the rapture of the church. That is absolutely Gentile. It does not have anything to do with the nation of Israel per se. And yet I'm amazed. I went out and I got a tape a while back by somebody who I really respect in the prophetic study. And the whole thing was, the title was The Rapture of the Church. And through the whole message, the guy talked about the second coming. And he confused the two issues terribly. And I want you to understand, when you pick up your Bibles and read, The second coming and the rapture of the church are mutually exclusive. And this morning we're going to talk about, when will Jesus come again? Well, the answer to that question, we're going to give you two answers, and they're both exactly accurate. But know this, that God has given us prophecy. In Revelation 19:10, the Bible says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is, in fact, the spirit of prophecy." Why is prophecy so important? Number one, prophecy has been given by God to convince you that God has written history in advance. It's called the Bible. You can be convinced of that if you'll only look and see. Number two, the purpose of prophecy is that you would come to believe in Him, that is Jesus Christ. And I like to consider God this way, the one-way God. There's only one way to heaven, the Bible says, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you in advance, that when they come to pass, you might know that I am He." The Bible says that Jesus is our one-way Redeemer to heaven. There's nobody else. And then the third thing for the purpose of prophecy is that you would understand God's nature. Hear me out, especially if you're here for the first time. Prophecy is given that you might understand God's nature. So many people have been brought up thinking that God is lurking about with a hammer, going to crush somebody who steps out of line. Listen, God is dogging you and your heels. Yes, that's true. But to love you and to bring you to repentance and to bring you to Christ. He is not out to slam you down. That's what the tribulation's all about. That will slam you down if you don't accept Christ. But He's longing for you to know Him. He's longing for a personal relationship. You need to understand His nature, that God has given prophecy not to scare you, but to give you hope and to give you an understanding that our God is in control. And so please don't try to infuse into the Bible your own opinion. That's kind of like the little boy who prayed to his mom and dad. He didn't understand God's nature and all, and he's praying, asking God for a bicycle, and he goes to his mom and dad, and he says, "Mom and dad, I want a bicycle." And they say, "Honey, we can't afford a bicycle." And he kept asking, "Mommy and daddy, I want a bicycle. I want a brand new bicycle." "Honey, we can't afford a bicycle." And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks until finally the little guy gives his last shot and he says, "Mom and Dad, I gotta have a new bike." And Mom and Dad says, "Honey, we can't afford to buy you a new bike. What we suggest you do is you pray to God. You pray and you ask God. If God wants, if God wills, you'll have a bike." So he's praying. About a week goes by and nothing happens. No bike. So one day on his way to school, his mom had to stop by and get a little thing out of the market. And she said, "Honey, you sit right here. I'll be right back." And he's sitting in the car. And he looks at the dashboard. And on that dashboard is a statue of the Virgin Mary. And she's there holding baby Jesus. And he's reading a little note under there. And that she's holding the Messiah of the world, God, come in human form, in flesh. And there's a statue of Mary. And that little boy looks at that statue and looks out the window of the car, looks to the left, to the right, and he grabs that statue of Mary and he breaks that statue off and puts that statue in his lunchbox. And he says, "God, if you ever want to see your son again, you'll get me that bicycle and you'll get it to me now." And that is misunderstanding. That is not correctly knowing the nature of God. That's not how He operates. He loves. He cares. And we understand that prophecy is given that we might understand His nature. We're going to go through two things. There's two answers to the question, when will Jesus come again? The first thing that we'll look at, jot it down in your notes, is that the second coming of Christ is Jesus coming with His saints, the bride of Christ, to execute judgment on earth. The second coming is Jesus coming back with His saints. And so, what characterizes the second coming of Christ? By the way, this morning, if you're a pre-tribulationist, mid-tribulationist, post-tribulationist, I want you to know that you're absolutely welcome to fellowship in this church. It's not an issue of fellowship here. I am a pre-tribulationist. I am so pre-tribulationist that I won't even use the post office. I'll use UPS, UPS. I'll use UPS. I'm so pre-tribulation in my understanding of Scripture that I won't even eat post-toasties. I won't do it because I'm so pre-trib. And so I'm coming from a background, though, that was once very, very post-tribulation. And I want you to understand that it's not an issue of fellowship here in this church. We can agree to disagree, and we can agree definitely to love one another. But if you understand the scripture, clearly you'll see that Jesus Christ is coming back before the tribulation. It's throughout scripture. It's absolutely clear. But we're going to look, first of all, at the second coming. So what characterizes the great second coming of Christ? We're going to give you eight reasons. You say, Jack, we only have got 50 minutes left. I'm still going to give you eight reasons, and we'll do our best. Number one, concerning the second coming of Christ, eight reasons. Number one is the prophetic players need to be in line for prophecy to fulfill the second coming. The prophetic players need to be in line. There needs to be specific global events and activity before the second coming can ever happen. Do you understand that? There is nothing that needs to be in line, the Bible teaches, in regards to the rapture. But there are many multitude of things that have to take place before the great second coming. One of them is a prophetic alignment of key players. One of those things would be the rise of the united multinational global government. We call today this thing called the United Nations, which is certainly being used, but we're specifically talking about what we've looked at in our previous studies, and that is the unification of Europe. The Bible teaches, the book of Daniel teaches, the book of Revelation teaches that out of the unification of Europe, which was once the ancient Roman Empire, the Antichrist will arise. And of course, that conglomerate is in effect right now. The second thing will be, by the way, this is the second thing under part one. We're still on point one here. I don't want to confuse you. Will be the rise of a united multinational global economy. And do I need to say any more about that with what we've come through in the last time that I was speaking anyhow regarding the smart card and all those things, that the global economy is coming? I've been absolutely, thank God, I've been absolutely inundated with data from you. I've met some fantastic people in this church since the last time I taught here. You guys are involved in heavy high-tech stuff. Remember we talked about Bill Gates mapping out the United States for global positioning and location of stolen automobiles and stolen children and stolen dogs and all this stuff. I talked with a man who, in fact, we baptized him a couple weeks ago, who after the baptism we got together and he says, that's exactly what I'm working on. I'm working in that division and I'm going to get you some information. I got a bunch of stuff just to get me more excited about the coming of the Lord. But these are the things that are telling us that the second coming is nearing. I tell you what, this morning it's at least 7 years away from today, I'll tell you that, because the great tribulation period will be 7 years long and the church will be removed before that time happens. It has to be, if you understand the scripture. But there will be a global economy, an electronic world where money is handled electronically, of course, through the mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And then there'll be the rise of a united multinational global leader, the Antichrist, the false leader of the world. The Bible says he will come out of that European conglomerate. He'll be a friend of Israel for at least 3.5 years until he breaks his covenant with them. But he is actually the personification of Satan in human form. And then there'll be worldwide judgments during the tribulation period. Listen, before the second coming of Christ can take place, there's got to be global judgments. And you can read about all that in Revelation chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 18, global judgments. There will also be the great battle of Armageddon. That has to take place before the second coming can happen. The great battle of Armageddon. By the way, we'll get in next week to Russia's position in prophecy. And we'll see that. And I firmly believe without any shadow of a doubt that the Russian battle referred to in Ezekiel 38 and 39 must take place before the seven-year tribulation period begins. And we'll prove to you from Scripture about why that must be true. But the first coming, as we've mentioned, was Jewish in context. The second coming, again, is Jewish in context. That's why the book of Revelation that covers the great events of the tribulation and second coming, so many of you don't like to read and understand. You don't want to look at it because you say, gosh, it's hard to understand. Because it presupposes you've read the entire Old Testament first. You'll never understand the book of Revelation until you've read the Old Testament because it's primarily Jewish. The second point this morning concerning the second coming It is at the end of the great tribulation period, Matthew 24, verse 29. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens, the cosmos, will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the atmosphere. And then all the tribes, listen, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Listen, you're going to hear a lot about clouds in heaven. Or Jesus being received up into a cloud. Acts chapter 1. The two men telling the disciples Jesus will come again in a cloud. It's not cloudy in heaven. The weather's great up there. It's fine in heaven. The cloud refers to God's glory. It's interesting that when Jesus was caught up, it says he was received up into a cloud in Acts chapter 1. The word is actual glory. Jesus is not coming on a cloudy day, though I love clouds. And I love to get in an airplane and kind of play with clouds. You go around them, let the wingtips kind of stick into the cloud. Clouds are awesome. I love them. You want to kind of get out of the door and step on them. You know, they're so awesome. But Jesus is not coming in atmospheric water vapor clouds. He's coming with glory. But the Bible says in Matthew 24 that he's going to come at the end of the tribulation. That's the second coming. The third point is this. When will Jesus come again? Well, when there's a great increase in religious apostasy around the world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, let no one deceive you by any means for that day. By the way, carefully, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is referring to both the rapture and the second coming because the Thessalonians thought they had missed it, that they had missed the coming of the Lord and that they had missed the end time events. The entire epistle of 1 and 2 Thessalonians has rapture all over it and second coming all over it. And you need to study the nature about why Paul even wrote that book. There were a bunch of false guys walking around writing letters and making speeches that Paul was wrong and that they had missed the coming and the day of the Lord. So in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul is addressing the fact that there is the rapture and there is the second coming. But he says concerning the second coming, let nobody deceive you. By any means, for that day, that is the second coming, will not come unless there is the falling away, your Bible says. The apostasia, that must come first, followed by the man of perdition or the man of sin, the Antichrist. So you're going to start seeing during the tribulation period and even beforehand a great departure of people from the faith. They're going to be, and you and I probably know some. I pray not, but there's theoretically there's people in this church that as time goes along, they're going to give up. They're just going to turn their back. The world just looks too good to them. The world looks too sweet. And they're going to basically say, hey, I'll see you later. And they're going to walk out on Christ. We're going to see a great increase in that as we approach the times of the end concerning the second coming. Many people will depart from Christianity. Were they ever saved to begin with? I believe absolutely not. They were professors of faith, but they didn't have it in their heart. So the third thing will be that there'll be a great apostasy, a great departure, as described in Scripture. By the way, I did not mention this, that there will be a global church. Did you know that? Book of Revelation speaks about that, a global church. There'll be a church that is global, but it's a false church. And by the way, it's going to look like Christianity. It's going to be recognized as Christianity, but it will be an apostasy-type church. It will be fake, and it will be a horrible thing. The book of Revelation calls her the beast or the religious beast there that the false prophet arises out of. The fourth point to when will Jesus Christ come again in the great second coming, the fourth point is at the time of God's great vengeance against evil. Ah, Jack, I knew you were going to get to some fire and brimstone stuff. Yes, that's true. It is true. But you don't have to partake of it, people. I'm telling you this in advance so we can hurry up and get to the good part of this message, and that is the rapture. God is going to come and execute judgment on the earth, his vengeance. And isn't it funny? Everybody gets upset. Oh, how can God do this? Oh, let's just grow up a minute. Have you noticed how many people are so filled with vengeance themselves? I'll tell you, I'll get back at you. You ever hear about that? People come into the office. We counsel with them. What's the problem? He did this to me or she did this to me, and, well, you have to forgive them. I'll forgive them, but I'm just... No, you're not forgiving them. You still got the axe handle sticking out of the ground. You're going to pull it out when it's handy, you know. No, you got to forgive. But everybody wants to execute judgment. Well, he wronged me, so I'm going to go get him. And then God says, okay, wait a minute. The world has wronged me, so I'm going to go get them. And everybody says, you shouldn't do that, God. That's very mean, and that's not very nice. Have you noticed everybody gets to be God except God? Isn't that funny? We're being taught, some so-called Christian churches are teaching, you are little gods. That is blasphemy, and that is indicative of the end times. But everybody gets to be God, it seems like, but Jesus Christ. He will come with vengeance in his great second coming. You can't say this is the rapture. The rapture is a joyous event. It's a beautiful event. Besides, Jesus never puts his foot down on the earth in the rapture, but he does in the second coming. In fact, he creates an earthquake. He must have a big toe. It says when his big toe hits the mount, it's going to split open. Can you imagine? Jesus lands and ground opens up. I kind of like that stuff. Vengeance, Revelation 19:11. Now I saw in heaven the door open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and he makes war. This is Jesus. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name that no one knew except he himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's the second coming, people. That's the fulfillment of Isaiah 63, verse 1, where Isaiah prophesied concerning the second coming. He said, who is this coming out of Edom from Kuwait or Basra with his garments stained with red? Who is this robed in splendor and striding forward in the greatness of his strength? And then there's the reply. He says, it is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. They ask the question, why are your garments red like those who have tread in the winepress? He replies, he says, I have trodden the winepress alone. And from the people of the world there was none to help me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. And it is their blood that is sprinkled upon my garments. And I have stained all of my robes, for the day of my vengeance has come, and the year of my redeemed has come. That's the great second coming. People, you don't want to be here for the second coming. Well, Jack, I think the church is going to be protected through. Listen carefully. It's going to hit you right upside the head. And I want you to respond. You can get my home phone number if you don't already have it. If you have a battle with this, let's get together and let's go for it. I want to show you something. You cannot say from the New Testament scripture that God is going to preserve the church through the tribulation period. That is not biblical. It is not recorded in scripture. You can't find it anywhere. In fact, Daniel tells us that the saints during the tribulation period, that are those who have been born again during the tribulation, those who have come to faith, which is not the church, during the tribulation, the Antichrist will be given power and he will kill them all. So if you want to talk about the church going through the tribulation and God's going to sustain them, well, he's not doing a very good job. Because Daniel says they're all going to die for their faith in Christ. Specifically, I know this sounds barbaric. Can you imagine in our century now that we're... Specifically, their heads are going to get cut off. And you say, well, that's gross. See, the Bible... Hey, you know what? When I've ever made a mistake in the Bible, it's because I didn't interpret the Bible literal enough. And I find it extremely interesting. The Bible says that those who come to faith during the tribulation period will have to be beheaded for their faith in Christ because of the great persecution that's going to come upon the world. And you hear about France now resurrecting the guillotine. They're going to start cutting people's heads off in France. And you go, wow, I find that interesting. But you don't have to get your head, you don't have to lose your head over this. You can come to faith in Christ now and be born again and experience being part of the bride of Christ that the Bible speaks of and be raptured before this terrible time. The fifth thing is that there'll be a time of judgment for all those who are upon the earth. Revelation 14, 7. There'll be a time of great judgment. And the angel flew through the atmosphere, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth." Do they do it? In Revelation, the Bible prophesies and says they do not. They harden their heart against God, and they will not bow. So there'll be judgment upon the earth. The sixth thing about when will Jesus come again, and it is the great second coming. The sixth thing is that a time of great anger against the earth dwellers. I did a study yesterday. I got my computer out, and I typed in earth dwellers, and I let that thing run. If you don't have a computer, get a concordance. Every Christian should own a concordance. Look up those who dwell on the earth, or earth dwellers. You will be absolutely shocked to find out that, first of all, it excludes God's people Israel, and it excludes God's people the church. Those who dwell on the earth are those who have never come to faith in Christ. They are earth dwellers. Interesting, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 to 21. At the end of the verse there in chapter 26, verse 20, chapter 26, verse 20 or 21, the scripture says there that God will come out of His place to punish all those who dwell on the face of the earth. That is the great second coming. In Revelation 6, am I going too fast? I am going too fast. Get the tape. It's free. Get the tape. Put it on slow motion. Where was I? Revelation 6, 16. And those who dwell on the earth said to the mountains and to the rocks, listen to their prayer. Mountain and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand against Him? Can you imagine people walking around? Oh my gosh, look in heaven. There's a throne. They're going to see a throne in the sky. I don't know about you people, but that absolutely fires me up. I am so excited about the rapture of Jesus Christ. When I look at the second coming, I get more excited about the rapture. I don't want anything to do with it. They're going to look up and they're going to say, wow, look at that throne. And He who sits next to Him on the throne is the Lamb of God. And His vengeance and His fury is outrageous. Hills, mountains, rocks, will You fall on us and kill us, please? And hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, I've worked with a lot of sheep in my life, doing surgery on them and putting all kinds of weird stuff in a sheep in the job that I was in. And you know what? Every time we'd grab a big lamb or a big sheep, they would all be prepared. And don't get that look on your face like that. We did things to help save your baby's life. And we'd bring that lamb in there, and you know that lamb? He'd just walk right into that operating room. We'd anesthetize that guy. He'd never fight. He never said anything. Never did anything. He'd walk right in there and, oh, guess you're going to kill me now. No problem. They're just so docile. Have you ever seen? I've never seen an angry lamb. Doesn't it seem? How can there be an angry lamb? Hey, I don't know, but I know this: that when they look up in heaven and they see the wrath of the Lamb, it's going to be radical. It's going to be absolutely radical. People, the rapture is not the second coming. The second coming is not the rapture. You can't tie the two together. Both are true. Both are yet future. I hope the rapture happens now. Right now. How about now? Or now. I really believe it. I can't wait. The seventh thing concerning the second coming of Christ is that you will notice the Bible speaks of an increase in global lawlessness. Do I need to say anything about that? I can't believe the lawlessness that is going on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. The Bible says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only He, that is the Holy Spirit, who restrains will do so until He, that is the Holy Spirit, steps aside." Read it carefully in the Greek. He doesn't go away. The Holy Spirit's not leaving. Some people argue with me, well, I don't believe in the rapture because how can the Holy Spirit who's taken out of the world, how can people be saved during the tribulation period? Well, you've made a fatal mistake. The Bible does not say the Holy Spirit is taken off the earth. The word in the Greek says the Holy Spirit steps aside. It's like linebacker, it's like offensive guards for the rams or the goats or whatever they're called now. And can you imagine a big offensive guard not liking the quarterback and he just says, well, you big defensive tackle, you, why don't you just go get that guy? And he stands aside and lets that big tackle go right by and smear the quarterback. That's exactly the word that's used in the Greek. The Holy Spirit is holding back evil right now. Isn't that amazing? Didn't any of you have a dirty thought yesterday? None of you? God bless. Praise the Lord. You guys are doing so good. Actually, we're all a bunch of liars, but here's the deal. That thought that came into your head, that moment you look down at the speedometer and you're going 56 or 156, the Holy Spirit said, hey, slow down, you're sinning. The Holy Spirit says, hey, stop thinking that thought. You're sinning. What do? You back off. Lord, forgive me. That was not a right thought. You're absolutely right, God. I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Can you imagine the day that the Holy Spirit steps aside? The Holy Spirit's going to stop talking like that. And every man's thought and evil intent in his heart, he's going to fulfill. Can you imagine that day? You buy a computer, you get software, you get this stuff, and you get hooked in to this thing called the internet. And you know what you got to do? You got to buy the type of system that you can put locks on certain avenues of communication, because there's now cyber porn. There's pornography that now you can lock into anywhere in the world. This morning I was talking to Mark Koppel in Russia on the computer. We were just typing back and forth in real time, instantly. You don't need phones anymore. But there's pornography. And the magazine Time or Newsweek is talking right now that it's worse than anyone's ever seen before in life. An increased intensity and lawlessness. Jesus says in Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness will be the norm, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Isn't that tremendous? The eighth thing. I haven't even got to the eight things about the rapture. Can't believe this. I'm talking as fast as I can. The eighth thing concerning the second coming of Christ, Jesus will come to earth, not in the air. He will come to the earth and not in the air. The rapture, he comes in the air. But the second coming, he'll come to earth. Revelation 19:14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen. I want to ask you, it says white and clean. Go find out who that is. That's the church. Revelation 19, the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Jesus on white horses. That's going to be fun. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword to strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, people, Jesus Christ is coming back in the second coming with an army in heaven who are wearing white, clean, fine linen. That is exclusively mentioned of the church only. And besides all that, in the great second coming, he's coming with his church. How did they ever get up there? And I want to ask you this question. During the tribulation period, where's Jesus Christ? Where is he? The Bible says he's in heaven. That's neat, because here's now arguments concerning the rapture of the church, that it will happen before the tribulation period. Listen to this. First of all, the rapture is seen in Scripture as Jesus coming with his people, the bride of Christ, the church, to the earth, and they will land on the earth. We will. Or did I say that right? Wait, the rapture will be Jesus taking his church out of the world. When he comes back in the second coming, the bride of Christ comes with him. And there is at least a 7-year period of time between the two. And to be quite honest with you, I think there's a much greater time than that. I really do. I don't believe that the moment the rapture happens, the tribulation starts. I really don't believe that. I think it can be a couple of weeks. I think it can be a couple of years. I think it can be 10 years. I think it's going to be a period of time. So don't think that we're only going to be in heaven with Jesus for 7 years and then we come back in the second coming. We're going to have an awesome time up there. But just don't think the rapture is going to happen and tomorrow the tribulation starts. I don't think so. I think the rapture is going to happen any moment. I pray it does. But at some period of time after that, the tribulation will begin. We'll go through this quickly, as possibly as we can. 8 reasons why the rapture can be expected now. Number 1, it will happen and it is a sure event. Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, jot this down. Concerning the rapture, expectancy is not only required, expectancy is commanded, and expectancy, listen carefully, is by nature those who walk with Christ. And I want to say something just absolutely radical that's true in the Bible. If you are not walking in expectancy concerning Jesus Christ, there's strong evidence that you're not a believer in Christ Jesus. You're not truly born again. People say, well, you know what? Will some people go up in the rapture? And some people teach, well, some Christians will, some Christians won't. You know, that's absolutely not in the Bible. Every Christian will be raptured when Jesus Christ comes back. It's not for the super saints. It's for the saints, those who have been born again by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Very important. It will be sudden. It will be sure. It's going to happen. We are supposed to be looking for His coming. Is that a driving force in your life now? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Are you looking for Him? If you are born again, I don't even have to say the sentence. It automatically presupposes that you're saying, oh boy, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That is the beat of your heart. If that is not the beat of your heart, then you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to be looking for the Christ, not the Antichrist. You need to be ready. So the first thing is, it will happen. On what do we base this blessed hope? Oh, this to me is the most wonderful verse in the Bible concerning the rapture. John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house, listen carefully, are many mansions. I want to ask you a question. Where is the Father's house? It's in heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you. That means I'm not lying to you. I'm not tricking you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where did Jesus go? People, everybody, where did Jesus go? To heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Where is that? Heaven. He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Where? Heaven. A child understands this. I will come again. Where is He coming from? Heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says so. It says there that He'll descend from heaven. And then He says in John 14, verse 3, and I will receive you to myself. The word in Greek is, I will pick you up. Have you ever seen somebody drive by and they honk the horn? Beep, beep. Hey, get in, let's go. Jesus is going to pull up, except He's going to have an angel on His hood with a big horn. Blow that trumpet. He's going to pull that angel tail, and the angel's going to go, brrr! And you're going to go up. How do you know, Jack? How do you know? It says right here, I will receive you to myself. That where I am, where is He? Right now, where is He at? He's in heaven. You cannot have a second coming taking the place of the rapture, or you're going to be very confused. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go and prepare the place for you. If I tell you this, then I'm going to come. And if I come, I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It doesn't work if it's the second coming and you delete the rapture. Are you with me? Does everybody get that? He's coming to take you away up to where He's at. Because the rapture is true. And where he is, there you may be also, because people understand this fact. In the second coming of Christ, Jesus does not leave the earth again for 1,000 years, at least. Are you with me? It's called the throne of David, the reign of Christ, the millennium. I don't know about you, I am so excited right now. I'm losing control of myself. This is the blessed hope. Today the weatherman says it's going to be 100 degrees. So what? I may not be here to sweat. My American Express bill came. So what? I may not be here to pay it. When I first got saved, they were selling these little stickers that you'd put on your dashboard that says, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Remember that? Wouldn't that be great? You're on the 55 freeway. The 55 freeway is truly, I think, part of the Great Tribulation. It's got to be from hell itself. What a horrible freeway that is. You're going to be sitting there someday and you're going to be going, I don't know, Lord. I wish you'd come back. And you're gone. Gone! He's coming in a moment. It's a sure event. There where I am, you may be also. Acts 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now when they had spoken, the disciples were all there. Jesus had spoken to the disciples, and he's going to ascend up into heaven. He's leaving the earth. Listen to this. Now we had spoken these things, they watched him. That's great. You ought to be watching them. If we're really right on people, if we really understand the Bible, when you walk out of this place today, you should look up and check out the sky. No, I don't see him. Not yet. We had to look up every day. Last night, I thought about that. I never did see the thing. The news said, go out in your yard and look up in the northwest, and you'll see the Russian mirror go by. It said it's going to be huge. The space station with the Atlantis plugged into it. So I'm watching. And I don't know if you drove by my house, but some people drive by my house going, what's the matter with that guy? What's going on? What's going on? Looking up. What's going on? I was just looking up there, and I was thinking, Lord, this is stupid. I've been out here 20 minutes. I haven't seen a thing. And the only way to justify how ignorant this looks is if you'd come back right now. Wouldn't it be great to be looking up? Oh, man! What are you looking at? Oh! Yeah. It says in Acts 1:9 that as they watched him, he was taken up and received into a cloud out of their sight, the glory of God. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven. Oh, wow. Can you imagine? Two men stood by them in white apparel. Personally, I don't believe they were angels. It says two men. I think it was Moses and Elijah. They showed up again, I think. But that's neither here nor there. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into heaven? I think they're doing a pretty neat thing. I'd be looking up. So, hey, what are you guys looking up for? Well, we just saw the greatest thing in our life, that's all. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus. They said, you know, basically, don't panic. This same Jesus who was just taken up from you into heaven will come also in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. That's great. When will Jesus come again? The rapture, any moment now. Second thing, we got to go through 6 more of these in 45 seconds. So, the second thing concerning the rapture, when will Jesus come again? Jesus is seen coming for his saints. He is coming for his saints, not with them, the exact opposite of the second coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Listen carefully. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with, number one, by the way, the Greek implies it's his shout. Isn't that neat? Jesus is going to say, hey! Can you imagine? The second thing is, there's going to be a voice of an archangel. He's going to say something like, amen, or, you know, here we go. And then the third thing will be the trumpet of God. There'll be a blasting of a trumpet. Watch this. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then what? Then after the dead have risen. How many of you have lost somebody in the last year or two? Look at all your hands. Those people that you know who have died believing in Jesus Christ, guess what? They're going to come out of the ground first. Jesus is going to come down, and I think he's going to say this. Remember when Jesus met up with Lazarus at the tomb? Martha and Mary's there crying. Jesus goes, "Come forth!" He shouted, "Come forth, Lazarus! Come out!" I think Jesus, in the only way that he can, he's going to say, "Jack, Betty, Karen, Bob, Fred, Barney, Rebel, come out!" They're going to come. The scripture says that the dead are going to rise first, then we, look what it says, then we who are alive, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, them who? Them, Jesus, angel, trumpet in hand, them, the dead. Can you get this in your mind's eye? This is going to be radical. Meet them in the clouds with the Lord in the air. Is that going to be awesome? That is the fulfillment of John 14, verses 2 and 3. So shall we ever be with the Lord? We're going to be caught up. We're going to go where he is. I just hope I'm doing a funeral that day. Wouldn't it be great? Every funeral we do, we tell people, you know what, Jesus is coming again. Look around at these grave sites, because those died on this hillside who believed in Christ are going to come forth. Can you imagine? Everybody's there at the graveside. Jesus is coming again. Those who have died, oh, there they go right now. Look, everybody now. And as the dead come out first, I think, according to what this says here, there's a slight delay. Don't worry, it's not going to be 5 years or anything like that. But there is a delay. The dead will rise first. Why? Because Jesus Christ descends, I believe, bringing our departed loved ones with him in the rapture of the church. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there has to be a resurrection. The body you put into the ground will come out again. Isn't that great? You bury the guy and boink, he comes right back up. Hey, stay in there. Boink, hey, man. I can't wait. Let us say our greetings to the... I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or hurt anybody, but can you imagine the hope we have in Jesus? Let's say goodbye to the dearly departed. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, my foot. The guy's in heaven. Rest in peace. It should say like maybe P-I-P, party in peace or something, because you're with the Lord. You're in the presence of God if you're a believer and you die. But when the rapture takes place, your body will be raised from the dead. And the graves are going to break open at the rapture. People, this is very simple. If you're a post-tribulationist or a mid-tribulationist right now, you're going to have a hard time with this, but hang on, it gets worse. There is no resurrection of the dead at the second coming. There is no resurrection of the dead in the second coming referred to in Scripture. Can't find it anywhere. The resurrection is relation to the rapture. Very important. He's coming for his saints in the rapture, not with them. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed to us what we are going to be like." He's talking about your body, the state that we're going to be having in heaven. "But we know this," he says, "that when Jesus is revealed," that's the rapture, "we shall see him like he is." Wow. "For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself, even as Christ is pure." That means, people, if you are believing Jesus can come back any moment, the tendency for you to backslide, goof off, go to Joe's Bar and Grill, or whatever, is greatly reduced, because the expectancy of Christ helps keep you in line. And you might say, "Well, that's not a good motive." Oh, get real. We need all the help we can get to stay faithful to the Lord. I don't know about you, but the only thing that has kept me out of trouble is the thought, "Lord, you could come back any moment. I want to be a blessing to you." Will I get raptured if I'm backslidden? Yes. Will I be happy about it? No. I want to walk in a way that when he comes down, he says, "Hey, Jack, up here." "Aye, aye, Captain." You know? but will be changed. Are you eagerly awaiting his coming? The third thing, the dead will be resurrected first. We just studied that, so we can go ahead. We'll skip to verse 4, or point 4. The true church will be waiting his appearance. Every true Christian in this room is excited about Christ's return. Jack, how can you prove it? Hebrews 9:28. Hebrews 9:28 says, to those who eagerly await for him, he will appear to them a second time apart from sin for salvation. That's a great verse. Those who are longing to see Jesus when he comes back, his coming has nothing to do with sin. It was dealt with. His coming back is to obtain salvation. Very important. The fifth thing, when will Jesus come again? It will be the great rapture. And the fifth thing will be the fulfillment of the full redemption of Christ. This earthly body will be changed. Can you imagine walking along right now, you and I sitting here, and we're thinking, oh man, I'm starting to sweat. Or I think my dress is caught on this chair. Or gee, I should have worn my tie today. Or gee, whatever. And you're thinking, and you know in a moment you're going to be changed. Or how's your back feel? I tell you, I'm getting older. Man, I woke up Saturday morning, my back hurts so bad. And that's great because I was studying for this study, and I'm thinking, this wretched body. Now, some of you are young enough, you're thinking, well, I kind of like my body. You will soon not like your body. When I was younger, I could work all day and not smell. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? You could work all day long, you're sweating, and it's no problem. Now I get up and I stink. This body is rotting, it's decaying. Think about high school days. You could hurdle that thing. You could run that touch. You could jump. You can go through those guys. Not now you can't. That's what happens to us. I was at the camp with your kids this week. 438 kids. The camp up there. Had an awesome time. Great time. Well, knucklehead me, they got this cable. It's about 50 feet in the air, and these kids get strapped into this mountain climbing harness. They open a door from this tree, and I guess I shouldn't tell you this. This is what happened to your kids. And out goes your kid from this tree on about a 250-foot cable, steel cable, over a ravine. And then they just kind of go crashing in the dirt on the other side. And they loved it. There's a big line. Well, guess who was the bozo running the cable back to the other side of the hillside? And I did that about 15 times, and I almost had a heart attack. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just pretend I just got beeped or something and have to leave. The next morning I woke up, I thought I had died. I thank God my body is going to be changed. When the rapture happens, your body's going to be changed. There's no changing of the body in the second coming. Only in the rapture. Your body will be changed. You might say, Jack, the word rapture doesn't even appear in the Bible. You're wrong. If you're Latin, anybody Latin speak Latin? Anybody know Latin? The word rapture appears in the Latin Bible. Rapturus. It's Latin for being caught up. Caught up is the English. Rapture is Latin. Harpazo is Greek. To be violently removed from the earth. Isn't that great? And when that happens, we're going to get a new body. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I know I've gone way over, but are you guys all right? If anybody has to leave, I understand you can go now. Ushers, you can let them out if they want to. You better not move. No, I'm kidding. We're almost done. Almost done. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And here's the deal, people. A lot of people say, well, the rapture's not in the Old Testament. That's right. It's not supposed to be. It's a New Testament revelation. It's regarding the church. And it is a mystery. Paul says, I show you a mystery. The word means something that has never yet been known. Wow. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 18,000th of a second. Blink your eye for a second. Just blink. That's fast, isn't it? In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Isn't that great? Philippians 3:20 says, because our citizenship's in heaven, we're going to go to a new home. but we'll be changed. Isn't that great? Like a baby with a dirty diaper needs to be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. God says, hey man, before you can come into my house, we gotta change you. He's gonna take this body, this diaper, and he's gonna give us a brand new body. The sixth thing is that the rapture will come before the great tribulation period, guaranteed. Jack, can you be so sure? Why are there so many books written about it? Confusion. Tradition. But the Bible teaches the rapture will happen before the tribulation period. Revelation 3:10. Revelation 3:10. Jesus said, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you. In the Greek, it is, I will also keep you from the hour of the trial that is going to come upon those who dwell on the earth to test them who dwell in it. You will say, he'll take us through it, Jack. It doesn't mean he'll remove us from it. You cannot find that anywhere in the Bible. The scripture says that he will keep us. Yes, I will keep you from the hour. It means you will have no part or parcel in it. You will be removed out of it. How do you know? 1 Thessalonians 1:10. That we are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That is, people, the tribulation judgments. It is not the wrath of hell. That has already been dealt with in Christ. You might say, well, Jack, I can't believe that. I think God has delivered us from the wrath to come. That is specifically dealing with the tribulation period. 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 Study it and see. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. I'm almost done and I'm hurrying. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love and a helmet as the hope of salvation. Verse 9. For God has not ordained us to wrath, judgment, but to obtain salvation. And Thessalonians was written to them concerning the second coming and the rapture. It has nothing to do with hell. It has everything to do with you and I being delivered from this earth before the tribulation period. Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36 says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass upon the earth, that you might stand before the Son of Man. How are you found worthy? By giving your heart to Christ. Number 7, it will happen suddenly. For when they say peace and safety, suddenly destruction comes. Well, the same truth is, the rapture will come suddenly, without a warning. The second coming has eons of warnings, but not the rapture. The 8th thing and the final thing here. It will be a blessed hope. It will be a glorious event. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we who are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. The Bible teaches in His presence is fullness of joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope? What is our joy? Our crown? Our rejoicing? Is it not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? So people, what is to be our response to these things? We are to give our hearts to Jesus Christ now. I look around this room, I think I just about know everybody in this room. And I praise the Lord for that. But maybe there's somebody here. You've never given your heart to Christ. Everybody look to their left. You see that door with that little gray button on it and it says prayer room? Because of the late hour that it is, it's late. Lord can come back. I'm going to dismiss you. But if you need to accept Jesus Christ, if this is scary to you, then you don't understand Him. Because it's a wonderful thing. The rapture is going to happen. Then the second coming will take place sometime after that. One is glorious in redemption. One is terrible in judgment and wrath. One is up into the sky. The other was coming down to the earth. If that's uncomfortable to you, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, set the record straight now, today, before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know that it's been a long time sitting here and a lot of verses and a lot of thought. But Father, I pray that you'd bless this church and this body. No matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we say, may our heads be kind of cocked back upward and our hearts like a radio receiver tilted upward, waiting for your coming. Lord God Almighty, I pray that if there's one person in this place that has never confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and has believed that truth in their heart that you've raised him from the dead, God, may that person today make that decision before it's too late. Father, I ask you to bless all of us who are your children, who may not be walking with you. We've kind of gone astray maybe, and we're backslidden. That we would set the record straight now, and Lord, that we would walk seeing that your return is most imminent. Lord, I commit this fellowship into your hands that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name.